Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined today, as always, by Spike Friedman. What's up, Spike?
Not much, you know, just standing and saluting a flag for the last 10 minutes straight just to make sure everyone knows where I stand.
Yeah, that's how everybody starts the day, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I say the Pledge of Allegiance five or six times, and then I just stand and just stare directly at a flag for a while.
Well, see, what I have my coffee maker do is I brew the coffee, but as it's brewing, it just plays the national anthem.
Like a tune. Yeah, see, I drink instant coffee in the morning, so it doesn't have time.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right into the kind of free agency news. The Seahawks worked out tackle Brandon Albert, most recently retired, then unretired. And there's speculation to the Seahawks trying to drive the asking price down for the Texans tackle Dwayne Brown. Now, both these guys would be an immediate upgrade over Rizzo Diambo and Matt Tobin, Isaiah Battle. So kind of differentiate the two, Spike, and say who benefits Seattle more.
Well, Albert he's younger, and he was, I think he was a little better last year, weirdly, but also he retired. And so it would be really complicated to get him. He's not younger. I was totally wrong on that. They're exactly the same age. They're both my age. They were both born in 1985. Albert was a little better overall last year, but Dwayne Brown has had the better career. Albert obviously is the property of the Jaguars right now after a trade that sent him from Miami, where he really helped shore up their blocking last year for Tannehill. And then once he went to Jaguars, he's like, well, he pulled like a Larry David, like, or no, Jerry Seinfeld, like, I'm out. Like, get me out of here. And Dwayne Brown, meanwhile, is pulling the longest holdout the NFL has seen in a while. He's, you know, past the Cam Chancellor mark, and there's no real end in sight. So it would make sense that would work out Albert, who would be tougher to pry from the Jaguars probably because they're probably mad about it, and is also retired theoretically, in order to go after a guy like Brown. Brown's pass blocking numbers fell a lot last year, which I think is why I'm a little skeptical of him. But that's also, I think he has higher salary demands than Albert, so we'd have to give up a little more in order to actually get him, which has led to a whole conversation. But I'd say on balance, yeah, either of them is way better than Rizzo Diambo. And either way, we would not have to run as much jumbo six offensive linemen as we did on Sunday against the Rams. We ran a lot of jumbo.
Yeah, never have I heard that many. Number 73 is reporting eligible on a TV broadcast.
It was wild. And in the stadium, I was like, oh, yeah, we're going jumbo again. And I wonder if part of that was like Doug Baldwin wasn't 100%, so it didn't really make sense to throw out a bunch of three wide receiver looks. But it also was like, yeah, when we go jumbo, at least Russell Wilson has a minute or a second to think before he's getting hit hard.
Right. Like, the team just knew it'd be just a knockdown, drag out fight against the Rams, so we're just going as big as possible.
Yeah, do you have a preference between the two? And if you think we're pursuing Dwayne Brown, do you have routes you like more or less to actually get him on our roster?
Well, between the two, it's kind of a wash. I mean, like we both said, it'd be an upgrade over our current tackle situation.
Yeah.
I might be leaning towards Albert because, one, the salary demands, and two, the price to get him would be a lot lower. Now, as a method to acquire Dwayne Brown, I would like to give up as least possible good players as we can. Now, generally, yes, that's what you want to do in trades. But
I stand by that.
But there's talk of, well, and chatter, not officially sourced talk, but chatter of Jimmy Graham, Michael Bennett, and those are players that I wouldn't like to give up at all. We just saw Jimmy Graham being used a lot more, a lot like he should have been used all along. And Michael Bennett is just such an integral part of the defensive line. His versatility, his skill at every position in the line is too valuable. So
there's no way with Cliff Averill out too. Like
right, our exactly.
Our pass rush can't afford to lose Averill and Bennett. Like, that's crazy.
No, those are like the bookends of the defense. Like, we would be stupid to give up Michael Bennett. And even before the Cliff injury, I mean, he could have been thrown in the discussion too. But I think he's the leader of sacks during his time in Seattle. So it just kind of be idiotic to give up those two players. And we're not going to see a situation like a Jermaine Kearse for Sheldon Richardson and a conditional pick. Overall, I'd like to see them go Albert rather than Brown, even though Brown's like the more established, like better career, and would kind of have Seahawks fans rest easier going forward for the team. It'd mess up with the construction, mess up with the salary cap. So I'd like Albert.
And we've already, for the first time in Seahawks team history, moved around salary numbers so as to push some current obligations into the future, specifically with Doug Baldwin's salary to get Sheldon Richardson on the roster. Sheldon Richardson is the sort of talent that's worth that, and he is someone who I could see us re-upping because he's young, he plays a really valuable position, he fits our scheme incredibly well. In the case of either Brown or Albert, you're talking about a rental. I just can't see this team investing massive resources in what would be a 33-year-old left tackle, especially one that isn't top five at the position. Neither of these guys is top five at the position. So for me, I'm like, yeah, for a rental, like in a world where we have to give up Jeremy Lane, I think the kids are showing that we could do that. In a world where we have to do more than that and put the salary on the credit card, as it were, oh man, I really want a better left tackle than Reece Odhiambo, but we can't. Like,
it's not worth mortgaging your future for a 1-year rental. And like you said, on a player that's not top five is at his position.
Yeah. Okay. So in very quickly reading Evan from Hot Bloggers analysis on this, just speed read it. His options are trade Graham, blah, bust out the credit card, blah, or get the Texans to eat some of Dwayne Brown's salary by spreading it around before we trade for him, which I don't know if they're going to be willing to do that,
No.
Especially after he's kind of really messed around with their season. Like, they are not going to be amenable to, like, making him happy.
Yeah, they're not doing him any favors.
And they're not in rebuilding mode the way the Jets theoretically were with Sheldon Richardson, where getting a really good draft pick made sense for them to be willing. And they didn't have to do any of that shuffling. They just got a really good draft pick and, like, a reasonable receiver. And they're 3-2.
Yeah, they're one piece away. And now they're almost atop the AFC East.
Yeah, they are tied for the AFC East lead. They're better than the Patriots, we can all agree. And there's no way that'll ever come back to bite me.
No, not at all.
No one will ever edit me saying the Jets in 2017 are better than the Patriots to my ill effect.
Jermaine Kearse was the piece that put him over the top.
God, I love Jermaine
Kearse.
What a
time to be alive.
Oh, man. He was on Twitter yesterday during the Bears game to talk about that 2-point conversion. I was like, I love you, Jermaine Kearse. Never change.
Yeah, so the Seahawks are dealing with some injuries. They're dealing with some injuries on the offensive line, the sparking the Brandon Albert workout and the Dwayne Brown talk. Reece Odhiambo, he just played with Bruce Sternum. I think they kind of rushed him back, so this bye week will help him out. But Luke Jokel is going in for kind of a cleanup surgery. He's getting a trim of his meniscus.
Like you do, just like a haircut, like a meniscus trim.
Just a little bit off the top. So he should be back, not not directly after the bye week, but maybe a week after. What I was kind of thinking, and I know others on Seahawks Twitter kind of shared that same opinion, that if the team were to bring in Brandon Albert, you could slide Reese Odhiambo over to left guard and kind of shore up that position while Jokel's out, and then resubmerge Jokel in that position once he gets healthy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is Ethan Posick good? Like, what is this? Like,
I think he's the new Christian Sokolai.
No. No.
Just to a lesser degree.
No.
Because people preach how versatile... And by all means, he could be a great player. We don't know that yet. But we don't know that yet. Exactly.
But no, but Sokolai was a defensive lineman out of Buffalo who, like, we had to convert. And then, like... I think my fear is that Posick is the new Odhiambo.
Well, I just think it's the idea of Posick and his versatility that kind of sparked that comparison for me.
Got it. But like, is he good at anything?
I think that's my question. He does a lot of things, but he's not great at anything.
Oh man! So I'm getting more Dwayne Brown facts coming in live to Locked On Seahawks headquarters.
Live Dwayne Brown correspondent Spike Friedman.
He only allowed one sack in 2016. Yeah. So,
all right, let's make a move.
I was very much underrating his pass blocking last year. One sack last year. He was ranked 14th out of 78 by PFF in terms of offensive tackles. So, again, he's not a top five guy at the position, but he's a massive upgrade.
A massive upgrade with a massive contract. So there'd be a lot of shuffling they'd have to do to get him. But that pass blocking would be incredibly valuable for Russell Wilson and the rest of the offensive line.
Yeah. All right. So we got Jokel out, which I hate. But he should only miss one game against a New York Giants team that is utterly hapless. So I'm not freaking out about that. In terms of other injuries, it's mostly good news this week. There was nothing severe came up in this game. The two guys to keep an eye on in a good way are Baldwin and Bennett, in that they have injuries, but the bye week could really help them. And then there's the Cliff Avril issue, which is that Cliff Avril might not play football again, and they're going to take the bye week to sort of reassess his whole career trajectory. I mean, I don't know what there is to talk about here so much as to be like stay safe, Cliff. I guess we should talk a little bit about how the Seahawks did in his absence. And also, again, just keep reiterating, if Cliff Avril can play football, he should. And also, if he can't, he should not.
Right. No, I think we've mentioned this before, but football is just the lifeblood of all these players. And it's what they live for. It's their passion. But at a certain point, health takes a precedence over that. And we don't want to see a player further, not ruin his life, but, you know, they have to be smart about it. They have to be smart about their health. You know, there's life after football. And while it may seem like it's the most important thing in the now, like they got to, you know, look to the future, look to their family and see and reassess, you know, the importance of a game.
Yeah. And in Avril's case, apparently they're going to do a lot of tests during the bye week. And Pete said he's basically questionable to return for the season, but he'll have like a real answer post bye week. So in Avril's case, like, we got to give it a little bit of time. And I'll say that I was really surprised by who stepped up in his absence. I was really surprised by some of the stats from our D-line. It didn't feel like we were getting a lot of pressure on Goff, but his pressure rate was 35%, and a lot of that came from Brandon Jackson getting pressure on 4 of his 9 snaps late in the game. And Marcus Smith wasn't nearly as effective this week, but stepped up last week. And so again, is there anything you're thinking in terms of going forward, the Seahawks' ability to rust the passer with what looked like would be the best defensive line in the league? Hasn't been that good, but still has been pretty effective so far this year.
Yeah, obviously losing Cliff, the line takes a hit, but you see that things are going to kind of be okay. There's capable replacements all over the line. You see You know, Brandon Jackson being signed off the street and getting four pressures on 9 snaps. So you think he plays a whole game, he's better than Aaron Donald, basically. So, yeah. So now that we have Aaron Donald 2.0 and Marcus Smith, who's shown he's been capable to rush the passer and has that potential to, you know, get to the quarterback, you think, you know, while it's not Cliff Avril, the team is going to find a way to not fully replace him, but just kind of patch it up. And you see Frank Clark's explosive ability in his insane run stops where he jumps over cut blocks, and how he, you know, when the game's on the line, basically get to the quarterback and force a fumble. So, you know, if we're down Cliff Avril, can those patented strip sacks, I mean, I think Frank Clark has been more than a capable replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we've got a really good defensive system. And the defense was good even before Cliff Avril was here that last year with Chris Clemens. And, like, I think with the interior pass rush we're going to be getting with Richardson, Jaron Reed has been way better as a pass rusher than I think we expected. Right. And Michael Bennett's versatility, there's room for a decent defensive end to make an impact off the bench. If it's Brandon Jackson, if it's Marcus Smith, any given week, if it's Garrison Smith, who knows who it's going to be. If it's, but there's just room for that impact to happen, right. Which is great.
And Quentin Jefferson, he was a scratch this week, but after the bye week, he should be back and healthy and just adds a little more depth.
Is that true that he'll be back? I think he might not be back.
Ooh, no. You know what? He might not be. He
broke his hand.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently on, like, his first drill after resigning right. with the team. He's just cursed. It's another unfortunate one. And unlike Cliff, we don't have, like, the fondness associated with Quentin Jefferson because, unlike Cliff, he hasn't built houses in Haiti and won us a Super Bowl. But, man, like, it's got to be really frustrating to be Quentin Jefferson and have all the skills, get spotted by the Seahawks, brought into the system, have a role to fill, lose your job, get your job back, have a role to fill again, get out there and practice, and immediately break your hand and be out for like 6 weeks. So,
hey guys, I'm ready to work. Oh, no, I'm not ready to work now.
Yeah, it must be. Oh, God, this game is so brutal. Like, that just doesn't happen in other sports. No, where
I think there should be a movie about Quentin Jefferson's career arc.
Really, really popular movie. Yeah, the people want to see it. The people want to see the QJF movie.
Right. With a cameo of Bobby Wagner playing running back. Just practice. That's the practice snap that he lined up on a broken hand.
He tried to get his hands on a Wagner and it just shattered.
As it often does.
Against
would-be tacklers and Bobby Wagner.
Hands are a vulnerable part of the body.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things that could happen with them. And now leave it at that, Dr. Grant Goldberg.
I would say the biggest injury news for the Seahawks this week wasn't Seahawks injuries. It was the fact that our next two games are against New York and Houston, and they are down respectively Odell Beckham Jr. and Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt, which really opens things up. Again, like when you look at a matchup against New York and you think about, like, oh man, Cliff Avril's not going to play. That's a bummer. But you look at their offensive line, which might be worse than ours, and you look at their receiving options, and now also Brandon Marshall's out for the year. Sterling Shepard is doubtful to play. Like, Odell Beckham out for the year. That's a really favorable matchup for the Seahawks in a lot of ways.
Right, and I think Dwayne Harris is also out, too.
Yeah.
By all means, an NFL team, you can't really sleep on them. But if there's ever a game where the Seahawks won't be 100%, like, they can have those flaws in the execution, it's going to be against the New York Giants. They haven't won a game, and they're going to be up against a fully rested Seattle Seahawks team. And so we're going to kind of come back reloaded against them when they're at their weakest point.
Yeah.
So I think we discussed this off air, but that's the least watchable game all year. But they're somehow going to hold the Seahawks to 19 points, like you said.
Yeah, it's going to be a 19-0. Or, I mean, do you remember the game? It was the first tip pick. I think we beat the Giants 29-0 in the Meadowlands. I feel like it's going to be that. Eli looks really bad this year. Yeah, they really don't have anything going on offense.
Yeah, they intercepted him 4 or 5 times, I think. I think it was 5, actually.
Yeah.
And that was with their good receivers. And so we're going to be, I mean, not up against, you know, people off the street, but they're going to be signing these replacements and going up against Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and now new member of the Legion of Boom, officially Shaq Griffin. It's a matchup where Seahawks can really flex their muscles and be dominant like we've seen them.
Yeah.
And then going up against the Houston Texans, I mean, their lifeblood of the defense, J.J. Watt, out for the year. And another person who's out for the year for them is Whitney Mercilus, who back in 2013 really did a great job of spying Russell Wilson all game. And the game came down to a game-winning Steven Hauschka field goal. It's not going to be one of those knockdown, drag-out fights like we saw in 2013. They're facing a rookie quarterback, albeit Deshaun Watson's looked really good.
Playing well, yeah.
He's playing well. He's thrown 9 touchdowns in the past 2 games. So I'd say they're formidable on offense, but on defense, that's really the point where we can attack them. And if there's a game that they want to get their run going, then that might be it.
Yeah, I agree. And I really think the Texans don't have depth in their pass rush. Like, they weren't a team that could afford to lose Watt this year the way they could last year. And they really couldn't afford to lose Mercilus and Watt in the same game. And it's a bummer because, like, J.J. Watt's, you know, like, he's acted... I feel like people were getting exhausted with J.J. Watt. And then, like, he did raise millions upon millions of dollars for charity with what felt like a really genuine outpouring of sympathy. Like, of all the moments for J.J. Watt to go down, this is, like, the most unsatisfying, even if it is the most advantageous for the Seahawks. I'm still like, this sucks. Like, of all, like, it's not fun. It's not good. It's never good when a guy gets injured. But, like, for a guy to get injured at this moment, with everything that's happened in Houston, it sucks.
Right.
It sucks.
It's a body blow.
Yeah, and that team is good, and I want Tennessee to be punished for rolling with Brandon Whedon and Matt Castle when Colin Kaepernick is available to back up Marcus Mariota. I want them to be punished for that. But now they're going to be able to survive this because, unless the Jaguars step up.
Right.
And, like, maybe the Jaguars will step up. Jaguars' defense looks great, but they still start Blake Bortles at quarterback, and I'm still really skeptical of the Jaguars.
Right, I feel... How good would the Jaguars be with just an average quarterback? Let's say that they have Deshaun Watson. Let's say they have Deshaun Watson. How good would they be?
I think they're an 11-win team, maybe.
Right.
Like their running game looks really good. Their offensive line is fine. They're really good at all three levels of their defense, man.
Right.
All three levels, like,
and they. I mean, this is fantasy stats, but they have the number one ranked fantasy defense in the whole NFL.
That's not surprising. Like, when you have, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is much more of the Patrick Peterson mold than the Richard Sherman mold, or like a Marcus Peters, in that he will give up more plays than Sherman, but he will also make game-changing plays.
Right. You just see him use his athletic ability, and you just kind of marvel at it.
Yeah, and part of that is the respect that Sherman demands. And the fact that just no one is throwing to him right now. He's given up one reception in the last 2 weeks. But Jalen Ramsey's really good, and they have to throw at him because A.J. Bouye is playing really well for them. That was a great acquisition. Calais Campbell was a great acquisition. I look at the Seahawks schedule going forward, and of all the teams we have to play, like, there are some tough matchups left. The Falcons, the Eagles, maybe the Cowboys. Washington has their strengths, but, like, the Jaguars, I guess the Eagles too, but the Jaguars and the Eagles in weeks 13 and 14, that feels like a gauntlet. And we have to play at Jacksonville at 10 a.m. It's our one 10 a.m. East Coast game of the year.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Like, rest Russell Wilson. Don't put him out there. Throw
Austin
Davis.
Let's see
Davis
what Austin Davis is made out of. No, like, literally made out of, like, if he can withstand the pressure that Jacksonville puts on him.
Yeah. Like, I'm ready for the Austin Davis Jacksonville experiment. And I can't believe that. I can't believe I'm, like, looking at our schedule and being like, yeah, we'll take the Cowboys and the Falcons, no problem. But the Jags, I don't know, guys.
Because those are games that they can survive. Like,
yeah.
You put Russell Wilson out there against Jacksonville at Jacksonville, 10 a.m., flying across the country.
Yeah.
You, at that point, you're kind of hoping he's healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah. And then we come right back home and play the Rams at home. And I'm like, oh, boy. Eagles, Jaguars, Rams, 3 weeks in a row. That preseason did not look like a problem. That looks like a problem right now.
Yeah.
But the good news is I think we will maybe only have, I think we'll be like 8-3 going into that. So
yeah, the Seahawks schedule going forward is pretty favorable, especially in the next 2 weeks after the bye week. But especially, I mean, you're facing maybe Arizona with Adrian Peterson. They're the 2009 Super Bowl champions. And you face them twice going forward through the year.
I think they can
win at Dallas. They can win at San Francisco. You have the Falcons at home on Monday Night Football primetime.
Yeah, you feel like Washington and the Falcons are both, like, they're going to win one of those two.
Yeah.
Maybe both. If they win both, they're going to be in line for a bye. And if they win one of the two, they're still going to have a stranglehold on the division. But that Eagles, Jaguars, Rams, Aaron Donald, that Eagles pass rush, Calais Campbell, that whole Jaguars pass rush. I hate it. Grant, I don't like it.
I do like that. I mean, this is just adding to the narrative, but I do like that the Eagles game is a Sunday night football game in Seattle.
Totally agree.
But if we can get out of the Philly-Jacksonville stretch with at least one win, then going into the Rams game, I'll feel a lot better.
Yeah, and then, and closing out the year at Dallas and then home against Arizona, the good news about that, even if, you know, we've obviously, those are going to be tough games. Those are teams we've lost to and teams we've played as hard in the past. But neither of those teams has a dominant pass rusher. So when, especially with Marcus Golden now, I mean, Chandler Jones is still really good for Arizona,
right. But
they don't have the pieces to scheme him into single teams. You know, like, we can keep Russell Wilson upright in those games. So again, let's start it now. Week 14, Austin Davis, let's see him in Jacksonville, and then let's just win out otherwise.
Right. And I think Dallas, you have DeMarcus Lawrence, but that's really it.
So, and that's not, and like the, like, Aaron Donald, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more afraid of the 49ers pass rush than I am of DeMarcus Lawrence. Like,
yeah, no, and DeMarcus Lawrence is all by himself, really, on Dallas's line. And plus, who knows if he's going to be healthy at that point in the season.
And he's fine. Like, he's not DeForest Buckner. You know what I mean? Like, DeMarcus Lawrence is good, but he's not Aaron Donald. Like, Aaron Donald, oh my God. Aaron Donald
single-handedly wreck your team.
Yeah, there were some run stops that he had where he got blocked adequately well, and he's not a tall guy, and he still just, like, reached out and grabbed Eddie Lacy, who's not physical, and just, like, threw him, like picked him up and threw him like the Hulk going through, like, an unnamed bunch of, like, robots.
Right, that are, like, little henchmen.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron Donald playing against our team looks like he's the Hulk against henchmen.
Yeah, and that's not a good matchup for us, especially when he can just abuse Odeabushi and just completely end up in the backfield before the play gets started.
Oh, God. He's so good.
I didn't expect this to turn into an Aaron Donald fan podcast, but that can happen at any point in time.
It's honestly, like, it's haunting my dreams right now.
It's exhausting.
So, yeah, like, the fact that we have to play him twice a year is just terrible. Like once you escape, like, you can't escape him. Like, we're in the Halloween month of the year, and Aaron Donald he's the Freddy Krueger in your nightmares. He's Jason at your summer camp. He's Mike Myers when you get naked with a lady in high school. He's hunting you down when you least expect it, and he cannot be killed.
Oh, man. Aaron Donald is going to be a problem for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that. And I think that really covers it for this show.
Yeah. I'm
throwing it out there. You can leave a 5-star review on iTunes with your Twitter handle, and you'll be entered to win a Pro Football Focus Edge membership. So you'll get access to all these cool numbers we're talking about on the show. And it's a $40 subscription, so you're saving a little bit of money if you find yourself in the winner circle.
Yep, and you've heard me saying wrong stats and then quickly looking them up on PFF and correcting myself, apropos of Dwayne Brown's effectiveness. You can be that guy stealthily looking at your phone while you're talking to people and then being like, oh, I have the real facts. That can be you, Teddy Know-It-All. If your name is Teddy and you want to be a know-it-all, just leave us a 5-star review.
Please leave us a review, Teddy, please.
Please, yes. We only want reviews. Also, yeah, if you sign a review, Teddy, we'll know that you care.
Right. It'll be made with love.
Yeah.
All right. So I think it's as good as a time as any to sign off. So I'm Grant Goldberg.
And I'm Spike Friedman. And this is Locked On Seahawks.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.